And then we did a series on what did Jesus do? This morning, we're going to start a small series as we're, believe it or not, we're starting to head towards the end of the year. September is just, what, a week away? That's incredible. I guess the older you get, the faster time goes. I don't know anything about that, but Brother Pichardo was telling me about that. Time just kind of drags for me. So we're going to start a new series today. What did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Jesus said a lot of things. And what Jesus says, it's a big deal. And so we're going to look a little bit at that over the next few weeks. Today will be kind of an introduction. John chapter 10 and verse 25 says this, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Then Jesus answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this brief time that we have together. I pray, Lord, as we look into your word and specifically at your words, that you would help us this morning. Help us to understand the importance of what you say, the meaning that it has for us today. Still our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What a person says is very important. Because what a person says communicates who a person is. If you want to understand a person, listen to what they say. Listen to their words. And by the way, we are in our society, we are losing the ability to speak English, just to speak legibly, understandably. And communication is important. We need to understand that. Communication, what we say, communicates what we know. It communicates how we care. Throughout history, what some have said has had a greater impact or influence than what others have said. Think about that when we think about for the positive. Sometimes what people say has great weight. One of the most well-remembered and well-known speeches in history is Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. He gave it at the consecration of a national cemetery for those who died at Gettysburg. His speech lasted for really almost 2 minutes. It was not very long at all. His speech was preceded by a man named Edward Everett, who gave a two-hour speech. No one remembers not one thing that he said, but many people remember what Abraham Lincoln said. His speech began with the words, 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. By the way, our current legislators are trying to change that. It ended with the phrase, we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Although he didn't speak as long as the man who spoke before him, what he said had a lot more weight. Words are important. Sometimes what people said have a long-standing effect for the negative. Adolf Hitler wrote a book called Mein Kampf. It set out his philosophies, philosophies that would lead to the death of millions of people. What people say have importance. It is said that for every word in that book, because of Adolf Hitler, 125 people died for every word in that book. Words are important. As I mentioned before, we did a series on what did Jesus do earlier. We focused on the works that Jesus did and what he wants to do in our life. Now, as we start this series on what did Jesus say, you know, very few people will do what Jesus did because they don't listen to what Jesus said. We say we love Jesus. We say that, you know, what would Jesus do? And what would Jesus do is probably 180 degrees different than what we would do. But if we only understood what he said, maybe we would do as he did. Jesus' words are very important. You see, no greater words were ever spoken. No greater words have more importance than the words of the Bible and the words of the Lord, Jesus Christ. His words have the full power and promise of God behind them. They're not just some arbitrary things that were spoken by some arbitrary man who was a good teacher who said some things that were preserved for us 2,000 years ago. Those words were spoken by God in the flesh. And those words have the full authority and power of God behind them, and they will accomplish exactly what Jesus said that they would. Believing them can lead us to eternal life, and ignoring them can lead us to eternal damnation. Doing what they said can lead us who are saved to the abundant life, and ignoring them can lead us to a life of misery and shame. His words have meaning today. They are just as true as when he spoke them over 2,000 years ago. And they, by the way, they are just as relevant today as they were back then. Don't listen to what the world tells you about, oh, the Bible's old and it's outdated and it's antiquated and it doesn't speak to our society. No, our society has changed. His words are still relevant. If you want to listen to what you see on the television or what you hear on the radio and the downplaying and what our politicians are telling us, why don't we look at the results of their words? Why don't we look at the results of their philosophies? Things are getting worse and worse and worse. Now, I'm not a doomsday kind of guy. But let me just tell you something. When we were on vacation, we drove all the way up the coast to Washington and we did some other things. We were on the far east side of Washington, and we came all the way back down. And can I just tell you something? There are fires everywhere. Up in the northwest where it always rains, they are in a drought. I just think, and maybe I'm wrong, I think God's upset with our country. I don't think that's an accident. Now, I'm not a doomsayer. God's going to step up. But I'm telling you something. I don't think it's an accident. We drove into Washington. We drove over we went to church in Portland on Sunday morning. We drove over the border. We were going up to Seattle. We drove over the border into Washington. The very first sign on Washington was a sign for pot. And a second or third one was a sign for pot. And it was all over the place. You know, we're spitting in God's face. What he says is important. And we think as a society, we have grown past what he has said. We have not grown past what he has said. We've grown under what he has said. His words are important. Most people don't believe that because they'll listen to everybody else. By the way, don't believe everything you hear. Just because it is said doesn't mean it's true. There's got to be some truth behind it. When we were up there, we went to church. We went to a church, and across the street, it was a Thursday night service. Across the street was a school. And the school was, you know, they flashed signs, and it flashed the temperature. Now, I knew it was hot. I figured it was about 100 degrees. According to the temperature of the sign across the street, it was 262 degrees. Now, I knew it was hot, but I'm not a brain surgeon, but I don't think it was quite that hot. Don't believe everything you hear. Well, Dr. So-and-so says that, and I know Jesus said, no, don't listen to that. His words are important words. If we know the Lord, we ought to know better. God's people, we say we believe them. We say we love them. We say they're the foundation of our life. But if we're honest, most of us know very little of what he says. Very little, most of us know very little of this book. And their words are important, and so I think we ought to understand what they say. What about Jesus' words? Why are they so important? Let me give you a couple reasons this morning why Jesus' words are important, just to kind of give us a little taste of what we're going to talk about. First of all, Jesus' words are important because they affect our eternity. His words affect our eternal destiny. Where are we going to spend eternity? In the verses we read earlier, in verse 28 of John chapter 10, he said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now that's good. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've received him as your Savior, your eternity is secure. You're not going to lose it. The only way you can lose your eternal destiny is if someone can pluck you out of God's hand. And I don't think that's ever going to happen. It's impossible. But let me say this. It can also work on the flip side. John chapter 5 and verse 24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now, we can say many other things, and we will, but let me say this. This is the starting point. What he says tells us how we can be certain of heaven. And what he says tells us how we can be certain to miss hell. Hell's a real place. If there is something I could take away from the Bible, not that I should or I could, it would be hell. Very unpleasant. But can I tell you something? It's reality. In our society, we don't like to hear realities. And so if someone says something we don't like, we try to shut them up. We don't want to hear it. We try to shout them down. It's important to hear the truth. And we need to hear the truth, because truth is true whether we believe it or not. It's a matter of trust, and trust is a matter of faith. What are you going to put your trust in? What are you going to put your faith in? We mentioned before, but sometimes, there are people that believe in atheism. Atheism's had a bit of a revival. It's almost become a religion. Well, to be honest with you, it always has been a religion, because it takes faith to believe in atheism. But now you have atheism, and they'll put billboards up slamming God, and we have a whole new group of men who are writing books on atheism, and they're called angry atheism, and they don't only say there's no God, they say that people that believe in God are dangerous. It's a different story. But it takes faith. There's no evidence that this earth created itself. It's the most preposterous thing I've ever heard. It's almost as dumb as saying, "I'm not sure if I'm a guy or girl." It's biological. Ask your doctor. Not your psychologist. Ask a doctor. Okay? Many, many millions of years ago, there was nothing. And something caused nothing to explode. Now think about that one. And this nothing that exploded created everything. And there was this earth, and there was this primordial soup, and there must have been a lightning strike that hit the primordial soup, and whammo, it created life. And this single cell somehow, some way, became two, and then three, and then four, and then it started growing things over millions of years, eyes, ears, nose, and then it became a monkey, and eventually it became you. Now, let me ask you a question. That sounds ridiculous. That's what's taught in our public school system. Talk about God. It's like, well, separation of church and state. They don't even know what that means. Can I just tell you something? It takes faith to believe that nonsense. It does. To believe that nothing created everything, but not to believe that there was a creator that created everything. What seems more probable to you? Look, creation is proof of a creator. This microphone, one day we were walking outside and there was nothing and they exploded and I got a microphone. Now, it didn't look like that, but over the course of several weeks it mutated and it grew a cord. That's ridiculous. But yet that's what people believe. See, when we don't believe the truth of what God says, we will swallow any other ridiculous lie. And it just seems like we're getting worse and worse and worse and worse, and stuff that should just be common sense, people believe. But Jesus' words bring eternal life. So don't say it's a matter of you have faith and I believe there's no God. It all takes faith. It's just a matter of what are you putting your faith in? By the way, when you die, it's too late to change your mind. Can't stand before God and say, got that one wrong. You ever got something wrong? I thought this was going to happen. Nope, wrong. Oh, well, doesn't work like that once you die. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The word of God is very important. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 44 to 48, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Am I a light come into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness? And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. You know what Jesus said will judge us if we reject him? Jesus won't reject you. It's the words that he spoke that you rejected. It's the truth that you spoke that you rejected. And so Jesus' words are a big deal. Jesus' words bring eternal life. Number two, they also challenge conventional wisdom. They challenge conventional wisdom. And we kind of spoke about this a little bit. In verse 32 of John 10, the portion of scripture we read, Jesus answered them, said, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. In case we don't get this, you're newer, Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Because only God in the flesh could live a perfect life and die for sin that was not his sin, but that was our sin. And sometimes people say, oh, Jesus never claimed to be God in the flesh. How come the Jews got it? They heard it. They took up stones to stone him because he says, you are making yourself God. That went against what they believed. Now, if they would have thoroughly read their Old Testament and portions in Isaiah, they would have understood that Jesus Christ was who he said he was. And he was God in the flesh. But they didn't want to hear that because that was not their traditional, conventional religious wisdom that they lived their life by. And so they didn't want to hear that. If you're a new Christian, let me just go ahead and lay this out for you so you understand. If you start getting in your Bible and you start reading your Bible and you start understanding the truth of God's words and you stick around here for a while, you are going to understand that what he says is completely against almost everything that we're learning out in the world. I'm talking about the world. I'm not talking about 2 + 2 = 4 and that kind of stuff. Okay? I'm talking about the philosophies of life. Well, you know, we can't tell children to do. Just let them do their own thing, you know. They've got to experience things on their own. That's what the Bible says. Child left to himself bringeth to his mother shame. But we look, I remember as a new Christian, getting in the Bible, I started reading it, and I started learning some things. And let me just tell you something. As a new Christian, everywhere I turned in the Bible, it was completely against everything I was doing. It was completely against all the nonsense that I was believing. And I had to say, listen, what is right? The way I'm going, the path I'm going, or what God says? And I just kind of hitched my wagon to what God says. Because what God says is always right. But we live in a society now where we are afraid to stand up. We're afraid to say what we believe because someone that doesn't believe it might be offended. Now, we're not out to offend people by who we are or how we act. But if they get upset about what God says, there's nothing we can do about that. People don't like the truth. Paul told the Galatian church, the church which he started, which he gave his life for, and someone came in, they started believing error, and they weren't believing the truth. And Paul said, am I become your enemy? because I tell you the truth. Why is it we don't want to hear the truth anymore? I mean, if something is true, we ought to want to know what's right. Amen. But now we don't want that. We want to be able to decide what is right. We want to be the truth givers. And if you're saying anything that goes against what I believe, I not only don't want to hear you, I want to shut you up so nobody hears you. It challenges conventional wisdom. What we're trying to do in our day is take our churches and take God's word and make it palatable to people that don't know God. When you do that, there is only one thing you can do. Take the truth out of it. You see, if you take the truth out of it, no one will ever get upset. No one will ever get offended. And consequently, no one will ever get helped. Isn't our goal to find out what God says so we can line up our lives with it? Amen. Don't we want to find, look, I don't, how many of you like being lied, anybody like being lied to? I don't like being lied to. I don't like it. Okay? But yet, we'll do that spiritually speaking. I want to go to a church service where I can sit down and we'll hear some little nice diatribe, be your best you, and oh, you know, everything's wonderful. Don't worry, you're not a bad person. We're all bad. Okay? We're all bad in God's eyes. That's why we're trying to correct it. Amen? No, that's not negativity. That's reality. And it's like if we don't know the problem, we can't fix it. But we sit here in church, and you say all these nice things, and everything is flowery, and everything's good, and it's nothing more than a motivational speech. And you walk out the doors. Is that helped? We talked about eternal life. Someone gets in and says, listen, it doesn't matter what you believe. Believe in Buddha. Believe in Muhammad. Believe in the sun god. Believe in yourself. Believe there is no God. It doesn't matter. All roads lead to the same place. You may walk out and you may feel good, but let me just tell you something. The moment you die, we're going to wish we knew the truth. Doesn't someone need to get up and say, hey, excuse me, that's not right. People aren't born and decide if they're a boy or girl. You don't have to decide what bathroom you go to. I feel like a girl today. I'll go in the girl's bathroom. Common sense. We don't have to understand that immorality is wrong. Are we going to get on homosexuality, which is right, but, you know, adultery is wrong too. I'd throw that one in. Adultery is wrong too. We don't want to hear those things. What, are you trying to be condemning? No. I want us to be on the right path. The only way to get on the right path is to understand what's taking us down the wrong path. And I'm just telling you now, if you get into Jesus' words, it's going to challenge conventional wisdom. It's going to challenge what everybody says. Also, next, Jesus' words have powerful authority. In Matthew chapter 7, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. You can jot it down and look at it later. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29. I like these. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So Jesus is talking to this group of people, and they got done. They're like, whoa, this guy's teaching. There's something different. And I like the next word. Next verse. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, if I was a scribe, I would take that as an ouch. They said, you know, the scribes, they're cute, what they say, you know, they're the Joel Steins of the world, and you know, all that cute nonsense that's not true and not biblical. But when Jesus speaks, there's something a little bit different. It's like there's some weight behind what he says. There's some authority behind what he says. It's amazing how we'll listen to people that have no authority whatsoever. It's amazing how we will let someone who has no authority, no truth behind what they're saying, and we'll let them talk to us and influence us. God's word has God's authority. That's why it accomplishes that which he wants it to accomplish. If we, you say, man, how can my life be changed? God's word, because God's word says if we follow it, we'll be changed completely. How do we know that's true? Because God's word is different than man's word. It has authority. The authority of God's word. Several weeks ago, we do it once a year. We talked about tithing. We took a tithing challenge for those that have never done it. And many people said, you know what? I understand God's word tells me to do that. I'm going to do it. Now, how can we issue a challenge like that? On the authority of God's word, because God says he blesses when people do that. That's not my word. If that's my word, do not take that to the bank. It won't cash. But when God says something, it works each and every time. It's like when you ask your children, say, hey, so-and-so, go tell so-and-so to do this. Now, I don't know about you, but in most families, if one child goes and tells another child what to do, it ain't happening. Yeah. It's like, who are you? But if you tell so-and-so, hey, so-and-so, go tell them mom or go tell them dad says do this. Now you're just the messenger. The authority comes from the parent. By the way, sometimes people get upset. They'll hear something we say, and we're not trying to be offensive. Just bear with me. But like, I don't like that truth. Don't get upset with me. I'm just a mailman. That's like getting mad at the mailman because he sent you because he delivered the bill. Man, all he does is bring the mail. Okay, he didn't write the bill. We got a bill the other day. Our electricity has jumped up. I don't know about yours, but man, I looked at that bill. I'm like, is something wrong here? I didn't call the mailman and say, hey, doofus, quit giving me this stuff. It's expensive. You know, it's not his fault. He doesn't work for Southern California Edison. But we do that all the time. You know why? We don't want to hear the truth. We want to find reasons not to hear the truth. But can I just tell you something? The authority lies in Scripture. That's powerful authority. Don't blow it off too quickly. If you hear something and God speaks to you, don't tread lightly, because the authority of God is behind that. Hebrews tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ouch. You know what he's saying? God's word just gets down there. It just kind of like, take that. I mentioned earlier, sometimes people say, I don't like that. Can I just tell you something? I don't like it either. My flesh doesn't like that. My flesh doesn't like that. There's some things that I do wrong. There's some things that I shouldn't be doing. My flesh just says, hey, but I do understand one thing. It doesn't matter what I think. It matters what he said, because that's where the authority is. Let me give you one more and we're done. Jesus' words, they clean up lives. This is a good thing. John 15:3, Jesus said, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Clean. Our life is different. All of us who are Christians ought to desire to follow the Lord the way he wants us to follow him. All of us, when we come to the Lord, and even in our lives as we struggle, there are things that we have in our life that we should not have in our life. God wants those things to be cleaned up and taken away. Now, the problem with that is it's hard for us to do that on our own. It's a struggle. So I struggle with it. Everybody struggles with it. So how does that happen? How can there be a change? Fortunately, he gave us a tool. The tool is his word. He cleans us through the word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal? You ever say, do they have the wherewithal to do that? In other words, they have the means, or they have the resources they need to do something. He goes, what's the resource for a young man to clean his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. You see, David's saying, let me give you the... By the way, David's talking from both sides of the fence. Okay? He was not, you know, I serve God and I'm perfect. Man, David had some issues. Now, he was still a man after God's own heart. But David faced some issues in his life, and he's telling you, listen, here's how I got victory over him, or here's really, he could almost say it in the negative, here's where I fell short. It's related to God's word. Listen, you don't have to struggle with sins for your whole life. You say, well, we talk about addiction, and it's the chains and the bondage, it's just too hard. No, it isn't, not with God's word. It's too hard if you're trying to break those chains yourself. Listen, there are no spiritual Houdinis. Houdini was a man that escaped from all kinds of places. Can I just tell you something? He wasn't magic. He was a master at hiding keys in his mouth and making keys out of little things, and he could move his hands a certain way. He was a master of that. That's why they didn't film it when he did that stuff, okay? It was undercover. He had something to help him out. Listen, you're not going to get out of it on your own. You need some power. The power, you say, I'm struggling now. Everyone that starts to struggle, you say, maybe I was doing well for a while, and it seems like I'm falling back in those old patterns. I'll just ask you one question. How's your relationship to God's word? That's the answer right there. But I want someone to do this for me. I need someone to help me do this and do that. And maybe you do, and we'll help you. But let's just bottom line it. What are you doing with God's word? If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing with it, you'll be fine. No one comes to me and says, man, I've been in my Bible for an hour today, and I've been doing this, and I'm struggling with meth. It ain't going to happen. The problem is you're setting that to the side. Well, I'm struggling with this sin. You're setting it to the side. You're not spending time with God. Because he says, that's the wherewithal. That's the power. That's the resource. The words. What am I saying this morning? Words are important. Now, we're going to look specifically at Jesus' word, but let's just group it all together. It's God's word. You're not going to go anywhere if you're not in it. His words not only shape our eternal destiny, they shape our eternal destiny, our destiny on this earth. Oh, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Well, what about your life now? What about those years you have left until you go to heaven? How's that life on earth going? Well, that's a little rockier. Doesn't have to be. Jesus' words are important words. Oh, they're not going to be what you hear when you're out and about. Your buddies at work that don't know the Lord, that's not what you're going to hear from them. Flip it on the radio, listen to whatever you listen to, you ain't going to hear it. Listen to some secular, all this secular music, they're not praising God. Most of the nonsense you see, it's not praising God. God's word. Let's let them dictate our life. Let's stand together this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Thank you for being here.